It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Monday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy over the next couple of days. You know, when I listen to that intro to Sandy's show each day, we're all reminded of the battle that we are in for truth in this country. And, you know, normally during the weekend, a lot of folks, they take the weekend off from politics and they focus on football games and barbecuing and going shopping for groceries. But this weekend, very different. The attention stayed on Washington, D.C., where the long battle, one of the latest battles, I think, for values in this country, for decency, was played out with a final tally on the election of Brett Kavanaugh to be a new justice of the United States Supreme Court. Wow, it has captivated the headlines over recent weeks, and it has been ugly. And I think people on both sides agree it's going to be a long time getting over this, if ever, because I think it's a manifestation of where we are spiritually in this country, folks. And I know AFR listeners would agree with that. There is a battle for truth going on in this country, and that's what we saw in this battle before the Judiciary Committee, Senate Judiciary Committee, with President Trump's nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. Most people agreed at the front end, brilliant judge, that he has walked a fair road in his judgments, in his years on the appeals court. And but, you know, when the Democrats saw that it was not going in their favor at the very last moment, out came these totally unsubstantiated accusations about alleged behavior of Brett Kavanaugh when he was a kid, when he was a teenager. And how many investigations? The investigation, the FBI investigation in recent weeks was number 7, looking into his past. And once again, they could not find any corroborating evidence for these allegations that were made against him, primarily by a professor in California, Dr. Ford. And the vote on Saturday, in the full Senate, 50-48, was a reflection. It has never been that close for a Supreme Court justice to vote in the full Senate in 137 years. But on Saturday afternoon, when the vote was taken and was finally tallied, and Vice President Mike Pence was on hand to announce.
On this vote, the ayes are 50, the nays are 48. The nomination of Brett M. Kavanaugh of Maryland to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
All right, there you have it. That's how it sounded on Saturday afternoon. And really, I think one of the big changes came on Friday. Now, I've not been a fan of Republican Senator from Maine, Susan Collins. For the most part, I see her going to the left. Some would describe her as a rhino, Republican in name only, joining with others like Murkowski and Flake. Those Republican senators, by the way, Murkowski was the only one who didn't vote Republican, only Republican senator who did not vote in favor of Brett Kavanaugh. Instead, she voted present, and that had to deal with some deals she made with another Republican senator who did not make it to the vote because he wanted to stay at home, I believe it was in Montana, to attend the wedding of his daughter. Everybody kind of understood that. That's why he had the 50-48 tally in that. But I think the change came when Senator Susan Collins of Maine got up on Friday afternoon and for 45 minutes, and she had been it had been questionable whether she was going to support Brett Kavanaugh. But she went down the list of his court decisions that Democrats had questioned and fully supported his decision. And in some ways, probably confirming what many conservatives had said about Brett Kavanaugh, that he seemed to be soft in some areas when it came to abortion issues, et cetera, et cetera. But then she got into the allegations, the three kind of formal allegations that had been made against Brett Kavanaugh as far as sexual behavior. And that's when Susan Collins came out and was very clear. This is some of the speech from Senator Susan Collins on the Senate floor on Friday afternoon.
Mr. President, we've heard a lot of charges and countercharges about Judge Kavanaugh. But as those who have known him best have attested, he has been an exemplary public servant, judge, teacher, coach, husband, and father. Despite the turbulent, bitter fights surrounding his nomination, my fervent hope is that Brett Kavanaugh will work to lessen the divisions in the Supreme Court so that we have far fewer 5-4 decisions, and so that public confidence in our judiciary and our highest court is restored. Mr. President, I will vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh.
I think Senator Collins is a little bit optimistic there because I don't think the Democrats are not going to allow this to die. In fact, they're out there on the weekend right away. Kamala Harris, the Democrat senator from California, has been in Ohio. And this is about a fight, she says, and, you know, Democrats have to get out. And they're even talking about impeachment. Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, getting out there saying, we want to go back over all the FBI documents and interview people because it's her intention. She's going to try to impeach now Justice Kavanaugh. By the way, there was a swearing in on Saturday night right away, but there'll be a more formal ceremony this evening at the White House with Judge Kavanaugh. But, you know, President Trump, obviously, too, welcoming this. And this is what he had to say Saturday afternoon.
So the vote is now in, and our country has a truly great new Supreme Court justice. We're very honored by it. He's an outstanding man, an outstanding person. What they put him and his family through, the Democrats, over the last few weeks is horrible. If you look at what he's had to endure, horrible, false statements, it doesn't get any worse. But the beautiful thing is he is now in. He's going to be there for a long time, and he's just an outstanding intellect, outstanding scholar, brilliant lawyer, brilliant at everything he's ever done. So we're very happy, and the vote was a great vote, a very historic vote. It was well fought. I mean, who would have thought a thing like that could have happened, what he's been through? Everything was uncorroborated. I want to thank the FBI. I thought the FBI was incredible. They worked hard and they worked really fast. And I hear the report was really a detailed, thorough, professional report. I think this actually, the extra week delay was a terrific thing for the process. So we have a great new Supreme Court justice, and he's going to be there for many years.
All right, there you have it. President Trump welcoming the vote in the Senate on Saturday afternoon, confirming Judge Brett Kavanaugh to be the new justice, the ninth justice on the United States Supreme Court. Was this really about allegations against, as everybody says, uncorroborated allegations against Brett Kavanaugh? No, it wasn't. It's about the ideological divide in this country. It's about the fact that Democrats depend. They depend on the courts for their left-wing agenda in this country. Let's go back several years, folks. Let's be very honest about this. Go back several years when you had, 30 states in this country that have referenda on marriage being only between a man and a woman. The Democrats depended on the courts to overturn the will of the people. And we have seen that again and again and again. The courts, left-wing judges, activist judges going against the agenda of President Trump, left-wing judges ruling against the president's bid to start restricting and putting some decent guidelines in place for the number of refugees coming into this country. It was an open door when Barack Obama, really no kind of screening done or proper screening done with refugees. We had courts ruling on that and attributing his decision for basically they were calling the president being racist. Also with regards to building the wall, also with regards to immigration, illegal immigration in this country, we have seen over and over and over again, the will of the people of the country is not being done. It's simply the Democrats going to their left-wing activist friends on the court to get their agenda through. And that is what the Democrats are upset about. And that's why they were willing to trash Brett Kavanaugh for weeks. That's why they were willing. They even basically, they ruled in favor of the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. On and on it went. It's what made Republicans like Lindsey Graham, who is, I would not put him in the camp of the more conservative Republican senators, but I'll tell you what, it got him ignited. He has told people, Senator Lindsey Graham has told people he's known Judge Kavanaugh for 20 years, and he could not believe the way that Democrat senators, who he called colleagues and friends, were treating him. I tell you what, it's ignited something under Senator Lindsey Graham, and he certainly let that be known in the interviews he did on the weekend.
I hope everybody running for the House in these purple districts will be asked the question, do you support impeaching Judge Kavanaugh based on 5 allegations, none of which could be corroborated? Do you want an outcome so badly that you would basically turn the law upside down? All I can say is that this is going to the streets at the ballot box. I've never campaigned against a colleague in my life. That's about to change. I'm going to go throughout this country and let people in these, purple states, red states where Trump won, know what I think about this process.
There you have it. That's Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He is going to take the energy that he displayed. He's a member of the Judiciary Committee. He's going to take that energy, he says, and he's going to hit the road over the next 4 weeks, because the election, I think, 4 weeks from tomorrow, if my calculation is right. And we're going to see a lot of people talking about the base of both parties being energized because of the controversy over the Brett Kavanaugh nomination and what happened there at the Judiciary Committee. We'll have to wait and see. The numbers, it indicates, at least the polling that we've seen on the weekend and again this morning, that the Republican base, which was, and it's traditionally in midterms, the party that the president represents, the turning out for the midterm election usually quite low. But there's been a big, big change since July and August. The stats, the polls are showing that Republicans are more energized. What does that mean? We'll have to wait and see. Does that mean they're actually going to turn out and vote in numbers that are likely going to be needed? There's some real possibilities that the Republicans could make gains in the Senate, but the big question continues to be the House. And will there be a repeat of 2016 where Republicans retain the House? The Democrats are optimistic, and if the Democrats gain control, that will have a tremendous impact on President Trump's agenda. So we'll have to wait and see. All right, much more ahead. There's a lot of other news going on in the country this weekend. A horrific accident up in upstate New York. 20 people died. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But when we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Richard Land and getting his opinion on what has happened in Washington, D.C. and where we are in this country in our political and spiritual divide. Much more ahead. Sandy Rios in the morning, Fred sitting in. We're back after the break.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of 6, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer. stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Brandon, Hobbs, New Mexico. Drive a truck and I'm driving all around West Texas and Southeast New Mexico and I get informed and just thankful for what you guys do.
This is Lydus from Montana. And when I returned from Bush, Alaska in 2008, I was looking for a good Christian radio station. And I found American Family Radio. I listened all day long. It has changed my view of news and politics. It has encouraged me as a Christian to stand up for biblical values.
God is using American Family Radio to motivate Christians across America to help restore our nation's biblical foundations. Please partner with us in this critical mission during our three-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, October 16th.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Lost in the political rhetoric of recent days is the idea that a person is innocent until proven guilty. The Democrats have demonstrated a complete disregard for the Constitution in their quest to stop the Republicans from radically transforming the Supreme Court, using words like tyranny and immoral and evil.
We heard the junior senator from Oregon declare that this nominee would pave the way to tyranny. We've heard the junior senator from New Jersey describe Judge Kavanaugh's nomination as a great moral struggle in which there are just two camps. You're either complicit in the evil or you're fighting against it.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell implored his fellow lawmakers to consider the consequences of their behavior. We are in a very bad spot, America. One nation, yes. United, well, only time will tell. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Monday edition of Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. You know, it's just another demonstration of how ugly the whole Kavanaugh debate has become. And it's continuing. Yes, he was confirmed by the Senate on Saturday, but, you know, the left is not going to let go of this. And as a demonstration of that, there's a woman, her name is Ariel Dumas, and she's a writer for CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And she seemed to celebrate the damage done to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's reputation. And here's what she says. Said, whatever happens, I'm just glad we ruined Brett Kavanaugh's life. Now, what kind of individual says that kind of thing? You know, that's just a demonstration of an irrational hatred. Remember, nothing was proven in the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. They dragged this man through the mud and his family and his daughters. At one point, you remember, early on in the process, he brought in some of the members of the girls' soccer team that he coached. And he said at one point in recent days, I won't be able to coach a girls' soccer team again, something he has loved to do. But that doesn't seem to bother. Truth doesn't seem to matter to these people. Yeah, that's what she said. I'm just glad we ruined Brett Kavanaugh's life. Just another demonstration of where we are, I think, spiritually in this country. But, you know, the attack against Brett Kavanaugh was really, many people believe, an attack against due process. In other words, in this country, the norm has been, the principle has been, that somebody is innocent until proven guilty. Nothing was ever proven against Brett Kavanaugh, but the left is marching on as if he did commit a crime. In their minds, he has been guilty from the get-go, and it's been up to him to prove his innocence. And despite all the FBI investigations, they're continuing this morning to still say he is guilty. What is going on? We're glad to have with us, to hopefully answer that question for us this morning, the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, Dr. Richard Land. He's also part of President Trump's advisory board for faith issues. Dr. Land, good to have you with us this morning.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
All right. What is going on? This is an idealistic and a faith issue, a spiritual issue that's going on in this country right now.
Well, it certainly is. It's a spiritual issue. It's also the radical left is trying to drag America into a civil war, into a cultural and social civil war. And you know, no tactic is too low. The destruction of no one is too high a price. It as Alan Dershowitz has put it, this is sexual McCarthyism. You say that a person has committed sexual assault. It doesn't matter whether there are any corroborating witnesses. It doesn't matter whether the accuser's story has holes in it, and the accuser's not able to bring forth any corroborating witnesses. As the woman who did the questioning of Dr. Christine Ford said in her summary, this is not really a he said, she said. This is a he said, she said, and then there are all the circumstantial evidence is on the side of Judge Kavanaugh, not on the side of Christine Ford. And yet, it doesn't seem to matter. As some of the celebrity people like Alyssa Milano have said, it doesn't matter whether he's guilty. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether he's guilty or not. He has to suffer because of the previous actions of other men. And this is all a subterfuge to try to keep control of the Supreme Court, because for the last 60 years, the progressive left, the radical left, has tried to rule this country by judicial imperium. Think of all the things that the judges have forced upon the American people that the American people did not want and did not vote for through their elected representatives. Abortion on demand, same-sex marriage are two that come to mind. As Justice Roberts himself said, Chief Justice Roberts, in the same-sex marriage decision, let's be clear, this has nothing to do with the Constitution. This is five unelected lawyers' attempt to impose their definition of marriage on the American people. Well, the judges imposing their views on the American people is coming to an end, and Judge Kavanaugh is the fifth vote to have the judges do what they're supposed to do, which is to be umpires calling balls and strikes, not changing the strike zone.
We're talking with Dr. Richard Land. He's the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, also a member of the President's Advisory Board for Faith Issues. You know, a lot of people talking this morning, Dr. Land, about this is a divide, and they're not very optimistic that the country can come together again, that even the Senate, the United States Senate, can come together again. Where do you stand on that? Is this the way it's going to be going forward?
Well, I think, unfortunately, for a while it is. I think that the social fabric and the nation has been torn in ways that are far easier to tear than they are to mend. And we all need to be about the process of trying to mend them. That doesn't mean by compromising. It doesn't mean by surrendering. But it means that we don't sink to the levels of our opponents. We don't engage in personal attacks. We don't try to destroy reputations. And we call them out when they do. We call them out for instance, in this case, turning on its head over a millennium, over 1,000 years of English and American common law tradition, which is that a person is innocent until proven guilty, not guilty until proven innocent. I think that we need to call that out at every instance. We need to not sink to their level, but we need to identify their level for what it is. But you see, if you're going to treat people the way that the radical left has treated Judge Kavanaugh, now Justice Kavanaugh, I think we ought to call him that at every opportunity, Justice Kavanaugh, you have to, first of all, to some degree, dehumanize them. That's what the whole attitude of the deplorables, when Hillary Clinton talked about Trump supporters being different kinds of deplorables, the radical left, if you don't agree with them, then you are fair game. Anything's fair. Just like this writer on this television show put it, I'm just glad that we've destroyed this man. Well, they haven't destroyed him, but they certainly have put him through a gauntlet and have caused anguish and pain to him, to his family, to his parents, to his daughters. And they've made it more difficult. There's no question about this. They've made it more difficult for President Trump to find people who will be competent, solid, really good people who will be willing to allow themselves to be nominated for these kinds of posts and to go through this kind of, I guess you'd put it, trial by ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
It's medieval.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, one of the other things, the Democratic tactics that we have seen in recent years played out, playing the race card, trying to divide this country, basically saying the Republican Party is the party of conservative white men who are basically all racist. But the other card they've tried to play is males against females. And the Democrats keep calling themselves the party that supports women's rights, as if there are no conservative women out there. And that's absolutely amazing to me. There are plenty of conservative women out there. Millions voted for this president, but the mainstream media, of course, is complicit with the Democrats in this, as if you put a conservative in office, women's rights are just going to be flushed down the toilet.
Well, that's right. That's their tactic. Their tactic is to divide and conquer. They don't want to see us as Americans. They want to divide us up into males and females and different ethnicities and different sexual orientations, et cetera. And to it's identity politics, and it's rending the social fabric. It's rending the culture. And you know that they ignore the fact. And when a woman disagrees with their party line, then they attack her viciously. They're saying that Susan Collins, for instance, who gave, I thought, a remarkable speech on the floor of the Senate in which she called out the gruesome tactics of the left, she's now called a betrayer of her sex, someone who's betrayed women. It's like what Clarence Thomas said when he was being put through this kind of a pillory. He said this was a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who think for themselves, blacks who don't toe the party line. If you're a woman and you don't toe the party line, if you're a black and you don't toe the party line, if you're a Hispanic and you don't toe the party line, then they attack you as being a traitor. They attack you as being a turncoat. They attack you as being an Uncle Tom. You read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and it's all there. It's all there. The playbook is there. And do you know to whom Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals was dedicated? Hmm. Well, hold on to your seat. This book that was a tremendous influence on Hillary Clinton, this man, Saul Alinsky, in his book, and this book that was taught by community organizer Barack Obama, in the dedication it says, Saul Alinsky dedicates Rules for Radicals to the first rebel who was at least rewarded with his own kingdom, Lucifer.
Wow.
Now, check it out. I had a reporter say, that's not true. I happened to have a copy with me, and I pulled it out and said, there it is. Read it and weep.
Well, you mentioned reporter. That was my next question. Big problem here is the media, and we've seen it since President Trump's election. They are all in for the Democrats. I'm absolutely appalled as a journalist of over 40 years to see what's happening in the mainstream media in this country.
Oh, it's unbelievable, and it was before it started before the election. But the deep state and the secular media at the national level really were doing everything they could to defeat Donald Trump. They washed away any semblance of pretense, any semblance of objectivity. And since his election, it's gotten even worse. And thank God for institutions like American Family Radio. Thank God for Christian radio and for alternative news outlets that have helped to balance this avalanche. You know, over 90% of the coverage of Donald Trump has been negative. In this whole Kavanaugh process, the mainstream media, apart from Fox News, has refused to examine the charges against Kavanaugh, to look into the holes, the gaping holes, in Christine Ford's story, and to point out that they threw Christine Ford under the bus. And she was a sacrificial lamb to try to get rid and to stop Judge Kavanaugh. She wanted to remain anonymous. She could have remained anonymous. There were procedures in place for this to have been handled confidentially and quietly, and the investigation take place by the Senate Investigating Committee. But instead, they waited till the last moment, and they threw her under the bus and recommended to her lawyers who are known to be radical left-wing Democratic operatives. The woman lawyer that she had is a woman who defended Bill Clinton against sexual harassment in the Paula Jones case, saying that it really wasn't sexual harassment because Paula Jones didn't lose her job. You know, if these people, if they didn't have a double standard, they wouldn't have any standards at all.
Dr. Richard Land, Southern Evangelical Seminary. Hey, you got a big conference coming up this weekend. Tell us about it.
Yes, sir, we do. October 12th and 13th here in Charlotte, we're having our annual National Apologetics Conference, the longest-running apologetics conference in the country. We are going to have Ravi Zacharias as a speaker, Norm Geisler, Hugh Ross, Gary Habermas, Josh McDowell, Frank Turek. And it's a great conference, and the theme this year is The God Who Is. How do we know the God who is? And I'm going to be speaking on the subject of what would the God, the Christians and social justice, what would the God who is have us do?
Wow.
Boy, and I promise you there are going to be a lot of people that are not going to be happy with what I have to say about that. But, there's still room available. We're going to probably have around 3,000 people here. But fortunately, we're at Calvary Church in Charlotte, which can seat probably twice that amount.
Yeah.
And there's still time to register. Just go to ses.edu and find the prompt, and you can still register and you can still come. Starts Friday morning, goes through Friday evening, and then Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. It's over with about 4:30 to 5 o'clock on Saturday.
All right.
So you can get back in time for church. And we also have a
women's
conference.
Got to run, Dr. Land. All right. Great to talk to you, Dr. Land. All the best
you
in
too,
the conference this week.
God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye. Back in a moment after the break.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Ninth Commandment clearly prohibits lying. but a deeper dive into it reveals something that our culture seems to be sprinting away from at full speed. Embedded within the command is the implication that people have a divinely imposed duty to refrain from lying or defaming their neighbors. Additionally, the command reveals that mankind also enjoys a divine right not to be lied to or defamed. When we allow falsity, lies, and defamation to persist in our personal, cultural, and political lives, we align ourselves with the Father of Lies, who is also the accuser of the brethren.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The nation has just witnessed the brutal process Brett Kavanaugh had to go through while being considered for a seat on the Supreme Court. He was denied due process, was nearly sabotaged by completely unverified and unverifiable allegations, and had almost no Republican senators publicly standing with him during the worst parts of the week. There must be a better way. The Constitution does not require the Senate to hold these brutal Judiciary Committee piñata fests. It only requires the Senate to give its advice and consent. Few people know that the first time the Judiciary Committee grilled a nominee was 1955. The committee used affidavits and committee debate to make their decision before. It's way past time to end the circus and do it the way we used to.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Did you know your herds or fields or even your tractor could be used to support the cause of Christ for generations to come? As a farmer or rancher, you know the value of cultivating your resources. Crops are sown, harvests are stored or sold depending on the best price. Sometimes it makes sense to feed your crop to your own animals. It takes heart and shrewd management to keep your operation going. If your heart is for the Lord, consider designating your assets in a way that makes sense for your family while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. A representative of the AFA Foundation can show you how to bless AFA long after your own needs have been met. Contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. Learn how to make the most of your resources and leave a legacy to continue the work of the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. You may not have noticed, but another jihad attack has taken place in America. When Hyatt Hotels recently bowed to demands from Sharia supremacist groups to bar the use of their facilities to Act for America, it was a win for the Muslim Brotherhood and its stealthy, subversive civilization jihadists in our country. Hyatt justified its actions on the grounds that it would not, quote, allow hate groups to host meetings or events at our hotels, unquote. Presumably, the company is smearing Brigitte Gabriel's patriotic grassroots organization that way on the say-so of the discredited Southern Poverty Law Center, a radical leftist political warfare machine allied with the Jihadist Brotherhood and its ilk. As it happens, President Trump unveiled a new counterterrorism strategy yesterday that promises to fight the radical Islamic terrorists and the ideology they call Sharia. Help, it appears, is on the way. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Monday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy over the next couple of days. Wow. Busy Monday because of what happened on the weekend. A 50-48 vote in the U.S. Senate confirming Brett Kavanaugh has now, as the our guest in the last hour, Dr. Land, pointed out, now Justice Brett Kavanaugh, newest member of the United States Supreme Court. That 50-48 vote, that is the greatest divide in the U.S. Senate in a vote for a justice of the Supreme Court. It has not been that close in 137 years. And that speaks to the divide in this country, and that speaks to the viciousness, I'm going to say it, of the Democratic Party. They've got to have it their way. It doesn't matter, as this writer for the Steve Colbert Show said, they were just out to ruin Brett Kavanaugh's life. This is all about the Supreme Court. The Democrats want activist judges on the Supreme Court. That's the bottom line. What they can't get through Congress, they want an activist judge to give it to them. That's what this is all about. And so that's where the divide comes. Your thoughts on this, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. As we've talked about before many times in the midterms, a lot of people stay home, particularly for the party that won the White House in the previous election. The polling this morning indicates that this whole Brett Kavanaugh issue has energized those on the right, but the left, they're going to be out there busy too. They've got the George Soros crowd out there, paid protesters, by the way. That's been proven. You know, the encounter that Senator Jeff Flake faced on an elevator there in Washington, D.C., you probably saw these women who went into the elevator almost, standing at the doors, screaming at him. Paid protesters. They're all part of a group funded by George Soros, the far-left wing billionaire that's out there that funds so many of these leftist causes. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Before we go to our phones, I do not follow the music industry all that closely, all right? Full confession up front. But there is a headline out there this morning that's getting a lot of attention, and that has to do with a musician, singer, Taylor Swift. 90% of you probably know her very well. She is said to be one of the most popular singers in the world. Well, good for her. Taylor Swift. But she's out there this morning. She has been chastised in the past, apparently, for not speaking out politically. Well, she has endorsed the Democrat candidate for senator in Tennessee, in the state of Tennessee. That Democrat candidate is the former Tennessee Governor Phil Bredesen. And, of course, he's up against Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn running for the Republicans. That's a Senate seat currently held by Republican Senator Corker. But this is what Taylor Swift, she's decided to get political. She cannot vote. She said, "I cannot support Marsha Blackburn." She says, this is a quote, "her voting record," referring to Congresswoman Blackburn, "in Congress appalls and terrifies me." Appalls and terrifies me? What is it that Marsha Blackburn has done? Well, Taylor Swift says she believes Marsha Blackburn businesses have the right to refuse service to gay couples. You know, I wish I had time to get a hold of Marsha Blackburn this morning. I'm sure she doesn't believe that. No, what Marsha Blackburn and other pro-family groups have stood up and said, homosexual activists and their friends on the court don't have the right to tell Christian businesses that they must participate in things like homosexual weddings. That's what the whole Klein Baker case is about. That's what the Flores cases are about in various jurisdictions in this country, to force Christian business owners to participate in homosexual activities such as homosexual marriage. So Taylor Swift is just swallowing the line of I guess, her Democrat friends. But there you have it. Taylor Swift, according to the reports, most popular, one of the most popular singers in the world. Like I said, good for her. And I don't know that she probably has a lot of fans. You may be a fan. You're listening this morning, and you're one of her fans. Well, what do you do with that? She has decided to get very political. She has decided to go on the attack against Marsha Blackburn, who is a pro-family conservative candidate running for the Senate seat there in Tennessee. I know we have a lot of listeners in Tennessee, but you may be a Taylor Swift fan. One thing, if I was into the music scene, like a lot of people are, I certainly wouldn't be going to one of her concerts. I certainly wouldn't be spending good money that God has put in my wallet to go to one of her concerts. Now that she has come out being very political and attacking Marsha Blackburn and endorsing the Democrat there, former Tennessee Governor Phil Bredesen. But that's just my personal opinion. All right, let's go to our phones. Let's go first to Arkansas. And Nick, we say good morning to Nick in Arkansas. I think we can get him on the line. Do we have Nick? There we go. All right, Nick, good morning to you. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. What I want to say is, as I haven't always been the best at getting to the polls and voting, there's been a lot of times I've had jobs where I've had to work 16-hour days. I just could not get to the polls, but I can tell you that's never going to happen again. And after this Kavanaugh debacle, nothing short of Jesus appearing before me and telling me to vote for a Democrat candidate will ever induce me to vote for a Democrat candidate ever again.
Yeah, and I think there are probably some people like you out there, Nick, who normally wait out the midterms, but this time around. What is it in particular about the whole Brett Kavanaugh episode that has really bothered you the most?
Mostly, it's just been the fact that they've constantly been smearing him. You could tell from the beginning. I watched a good portion of even the early hearing, and you could tell they just wanted to attack him any way they could. It didn't matter whether it was substantial or not. You know, they tried to attack his political ideology, which he didn't display any apparent ideology. They tried to attack his judicial temperament and everything else. Mm-hmm. And it's all groundless, and they won't stop. And that's the thing. They just won't stop, and I'm sick of
it. I'm hearing what seems to be a duck in the background there. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Nick, do you have ducks?
Yeah, actually, I've got another call coming in.
All right, that's what it is. All right, I'm glad you cleared that up for us. Thanks, Nick. You have a good day. All right, let's head out to Oregon this morning to a caller that must be up real early. Jane in Oregon, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I called a couple of the other radio programs over the last couple of weeks when I could muscle up courage to do it.
Uh-huh.
I had an attempted rape, and it's the fact that I had that has made me able to decide the validity of some of these accusations that were coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And my point was that when you have something like that happen to you, you do not forget anything. You don't forget anything.
Yeah.
And I had given descriptions, I mean, just superfluous, not important details on those things. But, you know, since I haven't spoken about it very often in the last 52 years. And but in this last couple of weeks, I have spoken about it probably as many times as I have in the last 52 years, because I wanted to know what other women were thinking. And when I brought up the subject of enduring an attempted rape, I remember my friend Nita. I said, when that happens to you, you don't forget anything. She says, no, you don't forget anything. And I'm going, ooh, there's another one. And then my friend Lynn, who had been attacked for years by a family member, she described the last time he tried to force himself on her. And she had fire in her eyes. And I just quickly said, what was he wearing? And she says, he was wearing a blue shirt. And she pulled at her chambray shirt and she said, just like this. And I said, see, you don't forget anything. So in that sniveling woman, I was so angry that Thursday that they were interviewing her. I just wanted to be in her face and just, you know, you don't forget anything. Something was wrong when she had those pubescent boys dogpiling her, giggling. And she extricated herself. That's just a ridiculous situation. Anyway, I think she should be charged. You know, with defamation. I mean, all those women, if they keep getting away with this, they're going to. It's going to happen again.
Absolutely, Jane. Thank you for sharing your story with us this morning. I appreciate your bravery, and I appreciate you speaking up for the truth in all of this. Jane, thank you so much. All right, let's go back to our phones. Let's go to Arkansas. Carl, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just, it wasn't brought out in the news very much, but I saw a couple of sources that during the Kavanaugh hearings, there was a
reconstructed a temple of, or archway to Baal.
Yes, sir.
Archway to the temple of Baal. Did y'all see that?
I sure did, yep.
And you know, people that know that Baal worship involved child sacrifice, and you know, I really think this is a spiritual battle, and that abortion is at the center of this. I know that that's been brought up, and that, you know, a lot of women are very upset thinking that Roe v. Wade could be overturned, and I hope it is. I think it's terrible that it's gone on for this long, but, you know, we're really in a spiritual battle on this, and I hope people are in prayer, not only through the Kavanaugh hearings, but through our midterms and even just for our nation, that I just think, you know, we're kind of sitting on the edge of a place where we need to make some changes and hope that our country's eyes are opened and that people see the wickedness that is running rampant on a lot of levels.
Absolutely, Carl. And Carl brings up a good point. You hear from the left that they're worried that with Justice Kavanaugh now on the United States Supreme Court, somehow Roe v. Wade is in jeopardy. The reality is, all that would happen is the decision on whether to allow abortions goes back to the states, which is where it should have been in the beginning. Each state should have the right to decide that. So don't swallow this line that Roe v. Wade, if it's overturned, that it ends abortion in this country. Sadly, it doesn't. But that's the legal reality of what would happen. All right, to Eric in Texas. Good morning, Eric. Go ahead.
Good morning, Fred. Thank you for all what you're doing. If the Democrats were able to do what they wanted to do to Judge Kavanaugh, we need to wake up. People need to pray, and they need to vote. It's just I cannot imagine that we as a country had to go through that. It seems the more we walk away from God, the more foolish we become. The charges were just ridiculous, and we had to put up with that because people have thrown God out of the window. It's very sad. People need to vote and just make sure that they vote righteously. It's no longer time to be pretending that we don't know what is happening. It's good versus evil.
That's absolutely right, Eric, and we appreciate those comments. This is a spiritual battle, as Eric so astutely points out. This is a spiritual battle. And, you know, there are some people inside even the evangelical community that basically say, ignore politics, that Christians should not depend on politics in their testimony. Come on. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we divorce ourselves from this world and just stand back in order to be part of salt and light, which we are called upon to do. We have the right still in this country, thank God for that, to get out and go to the polls and vote according to our Bible-based consciences on this. And certainly with the Brett Kavanaugh case, what we saw was an attack by evil forces against what everybody says is a good man. May have done some things as a teenager. Drank some beer. He admitted to that. Maybe drank a few too, but what about the last 40 years? And certainly the allegations, the sexual allegations, no proof whatsoever. No corroboration. 7 FBI investigations showed that. All right, it's been good to be with you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Lord willing, be back again tomorrow. Have yourself a good day, because there's a whole lot more programming coming your way here on American Family Radio. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.